It's great to see you all here. We're involved in the BLESS initiative. It's a denominational-wide initiative to promote evangelism among our churches. And as you know, BLESS stands for what? B, begin with prayer. L, listen. E, eat. S, serve with love. And the other S, share your story. And today, we're going to begin with prayer. Now, what do we want to do? We want to share the love of God with people who are looking for God. And we know what happened. God created us to have fellowship with Him, and man was perfect when God created us, but Satan tricked Adam and Eve, and now all of us, all the offspring of Adam and Eve are lost. Now, some of you have been recently found in the last 50, 60 years or less, but many people have not yet found God or haven't been found by God. Many people don't know how to find God or their purpose for their lives. And that's what BLESS is about, helping people find God. The word BLESS is significant in the scriptures. We know the Abrahamic promise. God said to Abraham, He said in Genesis 12, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. He gave him other promises that had to do with the land and for physical descendants. But this blessing is a spiritual blessing, and it's for all the people. It's fulfilled in Christ. There are people who do not know the way to God, but you do know the way to God. What's the way to God? The only way. In fact, we had earlier in the summer 7 statements where Jesus said, I am, I am, I am. And one of them is, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so Jesus is the way, and you know that, but most of the people in the world don't. And many of the people that you actually come in contact with may not know that either. And so you are a key person in God's plan in helping those people find God. Now, just to remind ourselves that Jesus came fulfilling the scriptures. He died on the cross, as we sang in our songs and as we've heard every week and you read in the Bible. He died as a sacrifice, a substitute, the righteous for the unrighteous. And because of this, God was in Christ reconciling the world, the lost world, back to Himself, not counting men's sins against them. And not only is He doing that, but He's given us this ministry of reconciliation. So how many have been reconciled to God? How many have a ministry of reconciliation? Same number. You have been reconciled to God. Have you sinned against God? Did Christ die for your sins? And did God not, now He's not counting your sins against you? That's good news, right? He's the propitiation for our sins, but only for our sins? John says in 1 John 2:2, not just for our sins, but for the world also. So He's not counting men's sins against them if they put their faith in Christ. And since you know that and you've received that, you now are a minister of reconciliation. That's what God wants us to do. Now we remember just last week we looked at Ephesians 4 and it says Christ gave some to be apostles and some to be prophets and some to be evangelists and some to be pastors and teachers. For what purpose? To prepare God's people for works of service, for ministry, so that the body of Christ will be built up. How many are apostles? Some. How many are evangelists? How many prophets? How many pastors and teachers? How many street evangelists? How many street preachers? How many YouTube preachers? Some. And some of you are those things, but most of us, most of you are not, right? But you have a work of ministry, and you are a messenger of reconciliation. And so what Bless is about is trying to get people to realize everyone is involved in this, and you don't have to be Mr. Know-it-all or Mrs. Know-it-all. You don't have to be the professional. You don't have to, you're not called to those positions and those jobs, most likely. But you are very effective in God's plan. And here's the key that one church says. This is our mission statement. HPFTWBTG. What does that say? I think they left out the vowels. How helping people find their way back to God. So this is a Chicago church, and they said, this is our mission statement. And everybody can memorize this, and everybody can do it. I like this, actually. Help people find their way back to God. Do you have to be an apostle? No. Do you have to be a prophet? No. Do you have to be an evangelist? No. But can you help people find their way back to God? You can. And what's the way back to God? Jesus. Do you know that? You know Jesus? Okay. And so that's what we can do. We can help people find the way back to God. And this is almost a paraphrase of what Paul said in Acts 17 when he was talking to the Stoic and Epicurean philosophers on Mars Hill. Well, it's not exactly, but this is how Luke condenses his message. He says in Acts 17, verse 26, from one man, God made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and that he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. So is God behind people moving around? Yes. And what's the purpose? God did this so that men would seek him. What's that mean? Look for him. They're trying to find him. People are trying to find God and reach out and grope for him and touch him and find him. He said to these pagan philosophers, God wants men to look for them, and some people are looking for him and find him, though he's not far from any one of us. In fact, in him we live and move and have our being, he goes on to say. But are people trying to find God? Yes. Are people on a spiritual journey? Many are. Are there many spiritual options for them to choose from? Yes, there are. How many will find their way back to God? One, right? One, I mean, how many people? How many ways will lead people to God? One way. And you know that way, right? And so look how important you are to God's program. Now, Luke starts his second book. What's his first book called? Luke. No, the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Luke. His second book is Acts, or Acts of the Apostles. Or Acts of the Early Church. Some people could say it's the Acts of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Look what he says. In my former book, I wrote about all that Jesus, what? Began to do and to teach. What's his implication there? He's continuing. He's continuing until the day he was taken up to heaven. Wait a minute, Jesus isn't here. Is he continuing his work? How can he continue his work? He's not here. How can Jesus continue his work? He gave instructions through the Holy Spirit to his apostles. Do we have those instructions? Do we have those instructions? Yes, we have those instructions. Okay. And then he says, you will receive power to do this job. When do we receive power? How do we receive power? When the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So we are his witnesses. Are all of us apostles? No. Are all of us prophets? No. Are all of us evangelists? Are all of us pastors and teachers? Are all of us street preachers? No. But are we his witnesses? Yes. And how does he want the most of the people that great army of Christians, how does he want them to do this? This has to do with the diaspora. The diaspora started when the Jewish nation, which was to be a light to the world, failed in their mission, and God scattered them throughout the Mediterranean world. He dispersed them. The diaspora means the dispersion. And this is out of, this is the Greek translation, the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament out of Deuteronomy, where God says, if you obey, you'll be blessed, and if you disobey, you'll be punished. And one of the punishments was that they would be dispersed among the nations. But God has a way of turning punishments and chastisement into blessings. And the blessing was that the Jews were scattered throughout the Mediterranean world, the Roman Empire. And in every place, or almost every place, they had a synagogue. And all around the synagogues, there were non-Jews listening and hearing and seeking God, and some of them finding God. But now the church is that diaspora. Yes, he sent missionaries, and missionary is just the Latin word for the Greek word apostle, being sent out to the world. Yes, he sent people out, but for most of the church, they're not apostles and missionaries and street preachers. They are just in community, touching people. And he said, we're salt and light. And for salt to work, what does it have to do? It has to come into contact, right? And so we are salt and light. We are in contact with people. Do you meet people? Do you have people in your that your life touches who are not believers? And how do you come in contact with them? What's one way that you come in contact with them? Work. How many have people that you work with that are not believers? Any family? Any relative, like family is relative, right? What family is? It's relative. Good pun. What about people that you just happen to meet, and you, for some reason, you just happen to meet, and you start up a conversation? Maybe you meet in a dog park because you both got dogs, you know, or you both like the same sport. So there's somehow God can have you come in contact with people, right? There's all kinds of ways, and so it's because of this. The people that you already are in contact with, you don't have to go out and look for these people. You're already in contact with these people. That's why Bless says, begin with prayer. Who do you pray for? Those people in particular, the ones that your life is in contact with right now. And some of them you don't know very well. Some of them your neighbors. Do you know all your neighbors? I know some of you have got an excuse, you just moved. But we've lived there a long time, and I don't know all our neighbors. I'm embarrassed by this. And so this is part of my homework, is to learn who my neighbors are so I can pray for them and so that I can be neighborly, more neighborly with them. So we want to pray for these people. Why does God want us to begin with prayer? Why would we do that? Why would we begin with prayer? Do we need prayer? Yes, we need prayer. Oops, I meant to go back. Did I go too far? Can you go back one? Yeah. We need God's power to do this work. He wants to empower us. And God wants to empower us in such a way that we are deliberately and consciously depending upon his power. And so he's linked it with prayer. He wants us to depend upon his power. Now, y'all can do what y'all can do, right? And your neighbor can do it too. But this is something that we can't do. We can't really turn hearts to God. But God says, I will work with you. We will labor together. Isn't that a weird thing? God laboring with us, the Almighty with us, the Infinite with us, and the Holy with us. And we're not holy. He's in the process of making us holy, but we're not holy yet. He's laboring with us. Jesus said, come be yoked to me. Are you weary and heavy burdened? Be yoked to me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. and you'll find rest for your souls as we're working together with God. We'll find purpose and we'll find rest. Do we need his power? Yes. Has he promised us that power? Yes. One of the I am statements that we already had, John 15:5. I am the vine and you are the branches. Is that being connected? Is that a vital relationship? Where does the life flow from? From the vine. And he says, your purpose is to produce fruit. If you stick with me, you will produce fruit. In fact, we'll even prune you so that you do, which I don't think that feels too good. But he says, we'll make you fruitful. But he said, if you're not connected to me, if you're not sticking with me, if you're not depending upon me, if you're not letting my power flow through you, how much will we produce? Nothing. So we know this, but he says that's what God wants to do. So he wants us to consciously and deliberately depend upon him and ask him to give us what we need to do to carry out his will. And he's chosen to do that through prayer. Like when Jesus taught the Lord's Prayer or the disciples' prayer, he taught his disciples how to pray. He said, you don't have to talk a lot and think that because of your many words, God will listen to you. That's not why God listens to you. He already knows what you need before you ask him. So then don't you want to ask the question, well, if he already knows what we need before we ask him, why do we have to ask him? Am I the only one who thought that? Come on. You wondered that, right? Why do we have to ask him? Because he wants us to consciously and deliberately depend upon his power. And so we know this isn't me, this is God, but this is God working through me. This is God working through me. And so when it happens, what do you do then? When God answers your prayer, what do? You thank him. And so the prayer and thanksgiving flow from us. It changes our heart and it honors God. Jesus said, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I love that. It's a magic formula. And so if you just say this magic formula, you get exactly what you ask for, right? We just say, la, 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 in Jesus' name. Whew, got it. Magic formula. Magic words, right? Ask and you receive and your joy will be complete. God wants us to pray and have him answer our prayers and make us happy, fill us with joy. But what's it mean to pray in his name? It means to pray according to his will. It means to pray. It's to sign a requisition paper with his stamp on it. You're authorized to ask for things in his name, but it has to be the things that he wants, right? It has to be the job that he's doing. We can't just say, I want to go for a yacht ride for a week. We need to ask in his name. John says it again in his first letter in chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, same as asking in Jesus' name, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, then we know we have the thing that we ask of him. Does God want us to be his witnesses? Does he want the world to hear about Jesus, how God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting men's sins against him? Does he want people to hear that? Does he want people to look for God? Does he want people to find the only way to God? Yes. So if you pray about that, what's the percentage that you're praying in the will of God for the people that you already know? Your neighbors, your coworkers, the people that you meet at the dog park or the people that watch the same ball game, the people that you that happen to be, your life happens to rub up against so that you can be salt and you can be light. Does it mean that every time you see someone, you preach the gospel and read them the Romans Road or the bridge illustration? No. You're praying for opportunities. You're praying for opportunities. And then when we get to the next one, the L, what do? We listen. We try to hear what's going on in their life. Are they at a point where they are spiritually hungry? Are they spiritually thirsty? Are they at a point looking for God? And we'll talk about that next week. But we're praying that God will make them sensitive to God and make us sensitive to what he's doing in their life, right? And so that just in your casual contacts, it'll come up that you can share Christ. Now, another reason that God wants us to pray, that we begin with prayer, is not everybody wants this to happen. Not everybody wants people to find God. Not everybody wants people to be reconciled to God. WFD, the world, the flesh, and the devil do not want that. Now, what's that? Well, we know who the devil is. What's the flesh? Flesh is the sin that's still left inside of us, the rebellion that's still left inside of us. Am I the only one that has a little bit of rebellion still in me, or do y'all have some too? Yeah, we have that. But God is promising that he'll get rid of that. But we have the power of the Holy Spirit as we walk in step with the Spirit to overcome that. And what's the flesh, or what's the world? It's the whole system of lost men under the control of the devil. John says in 1 John 5:19 that the whole world is in the control of the devil. And so, does he want to give up his control? Does he want to give up his kingdom? No. He wants to keep people enslaved. And he also wants, and there's only one force that can defeat him. And what's that force? It's Jesus on his mission. Is Jesus on his mission? Yes. Is he here? How's he here? In us. He's here by his Spirit. So the only thing that can throw Satan off or upset his kingdom is the church of God doing its mission. So, the Bless group says, make a list. And they said, make a Frank list. They like acrostics, okay? Frank. I have a brother named Frank. Or is this Frank? Maybe it's money. I'm not sure. And so make a list of friends, relatives, acquaintances, neighbors, coworkers. I want you to right now, just stop a minute. And I want you to think. Some people will come to your mind, some friends, that people that you know that need Christ. Some friends, some relatives, close family or more distant, it's relative, acquaintances, people that you meet at the dog park or wherever, your neighbors or coworkers. Think of some names. And you have a bulletin, right? Do you have the Bless thing? You have this? You see the little circle, the guy praying on his knees? How many have it? Show me. Okay, hold it up so that I can see it and I can see you're awake. There we go. All right, put your finger on that little guy. And it says circles of influence, coworkers, neighbors, acquaintances, relatives, friends. Think of some people and write their name down. Go ahead right now. Take a couple minutes. People that your life comes in contact with. People that God has placed near you. He's moved them around, and now he's got them near you so that your life as salt can rub up against them, and as light can help them see their way to God. Put some names down for people to pray for. And don't start off with a giant list that you won't be able to keep up. Maybe 3, 4, 5 people. And pray for these people daily. You could write their name on that bookmark. Now, some of them have the perforated cardstock, and you can pull it off. And others are just a piece of paper they have to cut with a pair of scissors. So Maybe wait till you get home and to cut them with a pair of scissors. Unless you're like one of those people who like to fold it 10 times and then tear it off. But this is a bookmark to put in your Bible and to remember these people and to pray for them. So think of some people and write down their names. And in fact, you can ask God, how do I pray for this person? And then as we practice listening, that list will be able to target it a little bit better. But at first, like, how do I pray for this person? And then each day, take a minute or two to pray for each person on the list. Now, they give some suggestions on the back of the bookmark. Like, what if I don't know what to pray for? Well, like you're praying for Tony or Brenda or Nancy, okay? Lord, I pray that Nancy becomes thirsty for God. Some people are thirsty. They're spiritually thirsty. Think of the woman at the well. She was spiritually thirsty. And she had tried 5 marriages. And it didn't satisfy her. People are trying all kinds of things. But she was spiritually thirsty. And when Jesus came to her, she responded to him. We might have thought she would be a very unlikely person to respond to Christ, but she was spiritually thirsty. You may have friends like that. You may have neighbors like that. You may have family like that. You may have coworkers like that. You may have people that you meet at the ball game or the dog park like that, that God has your life rub up against them. So pray for them. Pray that so-and-so becomes thirsty for God. Jesus said, if anyone's thirsty, let him come to me. Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, streams of living water will flow out from within him. And he was speaking about the Holy Spirit that he would send later after his resurrection and on the day of Pentecost. Another one. It's pray for a Mark to take genuine steps of repentance. And the verses out of 2 Corinthians 7 talking about the difference between godly sorrow and worldly sorrow. Godly sorrow leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow leads to death. But I pray that Mark would have godly sorrow, that he would take genuine steps of repentance. This means God's at work in their life. Is it normal for people to repent of their sins? Is that what the worldly person thinks about? No. When people are thinking about repentance or even thinking that they're a sinner, this means they're being convicted by whom? By God, by the Holy Spirit of God. He's the one who convicts people of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And so pray that this person will have the need for repentance, the conviction of sin come upon them and the need for repentance. Not just ideas going through their heads, but actually do it. Pray for someone to clearly experience God's love. Some people already know they're sinners. Some people already know they've blown it. They're fully convicted of sin, but they're not convinced that anyone could love them. And maybe that's what that person needs for you to pray for, is pray that they understand God's love for them. God is love, and we can love one another because He first loved us. They also suggest this. Pray for someone. Pray for this person to develop deep spiritual rootedness in Christ. We already had the verse about Jesus is divine and we're the branches. People need to be connected to Christ. Another one is out of Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. You received Christ as Lord. Just as you received him as Lord, continue to walk in him, to live in him, and being rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith that you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. So people need to be rooted to Christ. Christ is the only way. There's no salvation outside of him. It's not good enough to be looking for God. They have to find the one way to God, and that's Christ. And so we're praying, and so be asking God. You're asking God for these things, and then start watching to see if God answers these things. And whose life is he touching? And is there something you can say? Is there something you can do? Be looking for that. Be looking to see for divine appointments. Maybe now this person will be open or will ask a question, or I can say something about Christ. Be praying for that. God will make that available. He's not making you into an evangelist. He's not making you into an apostle or a street preacher. Some people he is. Some people he's calling to be missionaries. But he is saying, you are salt and you are light, and your life comes in contact with people. Be praying for those people and then say, Lord, is this a time when I can talk to that person? Have him ask me something. One of the books I read, this guy was in the mall, and he just got this weird feeling. He sees a guy. He doesn't know the guy. He just sees him, and he says, I'm supposed to tell him that God loves him. Like, that is weird. He gets up and goes into a store. Like, a little bit later, he sees the guy again. And he doesn't do it again. The third time, he gets this idea, I'm supposed to tell this guy. And so he goes over there and he says, this is a little weird. I'm a little embarrassed. But I just have this strong feeling I'm supposed to tell you that God loves you. The guy looked at him and started to cry. And he said, I didn't know if God loved me. You're the third person today, stranger, who's walked up and told me that God loves me. I think I'm supposed to look for God. And that's what we want God to do in our lives, is help us to be salt and light. Now, this is just ordinary Christians, okay? And so one of the ways that we can get encouraged is to hear what God is doing in your life. And so we want to make it possible where we can share testimonies of what God is doing in your life. Now, I know some people, we do have some street preachers here, and they can tell some stories, and they're encouraging. And we have missionaries, and we have had missionaries. You don't have to go to another place and learn another language and go to a strange place and hear a strange language and hear strange food. You can do that all in Dearborn. Now, we have the world coming to us, and we know we're in a unique spot, and we're in a unique situation, and God is engineering that people coming from all over the world, coming for university, coming for Ford, coming just because their family's here. And so we have an opportunity to meet people that are from other places of the world. And that's wonderful. And what's nice is they're learning English, so you don't have to learn their languages. And some of their food is really delicious, right? And we have ESL, and some of you are involved in that. We're not saying that everybody has to be involved in that. We're saying the people that are already in your life, that your life is already in contact with, you are a key person in God's program. Do you know that you are Jesus now continuing his work that he began? He doesn't have any other plan. There's no plan B. He's not going to send angels if we fail. We're it. And he has chosen to work through us. That's why we need to pray. But it's also exciting to be on mission with God. And that's where God promised. He says, go make disciples of all nations and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. And surely I am what? I am with you. He's with us when we're with him and we're intentional about doing his work. So what do? You reach people. You tell them about Christ. You report on Christ. You rinse them. And then you repeat. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this denomination-wide push to get normal Christians, everyday Christians involved as salt and light, praying for the people that their lives come in contact with, praying for you to make opportunities, praying for wisdom and to see those opportunities, and also to help us become better neighbors and more conscientious and deliberate in our walk with you. Help us to be good messengers of reconciliation where we are. Thank you for bringing the people into our lives that you've brought, the people that we have written down on that paper. Help us to pray for them and others that you might bring to mind. And may we encourage one another that you are using people just like the people here. And this is how you're getting your work done. An army of people filled with your Spirit, showing people the way to God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please stand and worship with us.
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are your church. We need your power in us. We seek your kingdom first. We hunger and we thirst. Refuse to waste our lives. For you're our joy and prize. To see the captives' hearts released, to hurt the sick, the poor at peace. We lay down our lives for heaven's cause. We are your church. We pray, revive this earth. Your kingdom here, let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand, heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire, win this nation back. Change the atmosphere, build your kingdom here. Your kingdom's power, reaching the near and far. No force of hell can stop your beauty changing heart. You've made us for much more than this. Away the kingdom seed in us, fill us with the strength and love of Christ. We are your church. We are the hope on earth. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire. Win this nation. Build your kingdom here. dear. Show your mighty hand, heal our streets and land, set your church on fire, bring this nation back, change the atmosphere, build your kingdom here, we pray.
Well, we're going to begin with prayer, right? So let's take a few minutes and do that right now. Let's begin with prayer. And I wanted to show you something. Some of you already know it. You can sit down. If you saw and you heard that Nabil Qureshi passed away yesterday. And so he's not feeling any more pain. He's been relieved from that. He's with his beloved Lord. Now he was... he came from a Muslim background, and he became an apologist and evangelist, and he's written three books, Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus, A Devout Muslim Encounters Christianity. How many have read this? This is a great book to read. We have it here in the library, and I also have copies of it. The second one was Answering Jihad, A Better Way Forward, by Nabil Qureshi. And then the last one, No God But One, Allah or Jesus. A former Muslim investigates the evidence for Islam and Christianity. Also very good. And so he has a legacy, these books. He also has many YouTube videos of him preaching. He has a special history with Dearborn. He was arrested here in 2010 for a few hours. And happily, the Constitution won out in that lawsuit. But he also, when he got this cancer, he was told August of last year that he had this cancer, 4% survival rate, 96% death rate. He felt that God gave them assurance that he was going to heal him. Now, I don't know if God gave him a promise or not, but he said, even because of Lazarus, even if I'm dead 4 days, I still have hope. So I don't know if God gave him a promise, but if God gave him a promise, he's going to raise him from the dead. Now, maybe he didn't give him a promise, and they just thought that, because that happens also. So one of the things you can pray for is, God, if you're going to send Nabil from heaven, his soul back to his body and raise his body from the dead, that would be amazing, because now it's already, it's been told that he's been dead, right? If it just happened like 15 minutes later, resuscitation, hour later, a lot of people have that story. But I don't know. And so I know God can do it. God has done it. It would be very unusual if God did it, and it would be very wonderful. So we can pray for that. Lord, if it's your will to heal, to send him back, that would be amazing. But if not, help his wife, his widow, his daughter, his family, his unsaved mother, father, sister, his cousins. Help them. But many people have already come to faith. And many Christians have been strengthened in their faith because of his work. And he's 34 years old. That's about 1 year longer than the Lord Jesus was on earth, right? So it's a short time, but... God still can use his legacy, or he can send him back. But let's pray. Pray for the people on your list, okay? And pray for you. Pray for us as a church body that we will be salt and light, engaged with the people that we already know. So you can form together your family, friends, whoever's around you, and let's just pray for a few minutes for the things listed there, and also for the people that you are concerned about. Pray for our sensitivity to the Lord's leading.